time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of land. It's Today in Ag, and that's not a question, it's a quote. With Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, currently it's 53 degrees, humidity's 42, winds out of the south-southwest at 12 miles an hour, wind gust up to 17 miles an hour. I'll have your Long Ranger forecast later in the show. There's pretty good little frost this morning at my house. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I live close to the river, but it was pretty frosty out there when I finally left the house to come to work. It was dripping off the roof, so should have been quail hunting instead of worrying about coming to work. But got responsibility, so I better stick with them. And then what do we got here? Oh, I was going to tell you, there's a very cold pocket of air in the vicinity of Altus and down by Tipton. It's 59, 54, 55, 56 around here, and down there around Altus it's 47 and degrees. So there's like 8 to 10 degrees difference between here and Altus, and that's usually reversed. It's usually warmer down there than it is here. Eastern Oklahoma is going through the same things. They're in the 40s, but for the most part of the state, we're in the mid to upper 50s right now. Warning now, the Friday, we're going to have another Friday just like last week. Breezy. It's going to be windy as heck, and get prepared for it. If you got any fires you need to do them today, or don't do them at all. Just wait till things calm down a little bit. It's so dry out there, and the fires we had in Panhandle last weekend, and the Kansas, oh my God, they got hit hard. So just be smart out there, and don't do anything you don't have to do. All I can say, it's dry. We all know it's dry, but it's extremely dry. We are in Beckham County, Greer, Harmon, parts of Jackson County. We are already in a D3 drought. It's dry. I noticed in a deal I was reading this morning that we are at 0% rainfall percentage-wise compared to the last 10 years since the last drought. So we have 0% of any rain on the average. So we're going to mess, this year is going to mess the average up for the last 10 years. Well, the grain report looks really good. I'm pretty happy right now. Even though the report shows that everything was lower in overnight trading, right now, cotton is at $1.07 a pound. Hard red winter wheat is at $8. This is cash prices from in Oklahoma is of 11 a.m. $8 a bushel. Corn's up to $5.92 a bushel. Milo's up to $5.95 a bushel. And soybeans are up to $12.42 a bushel. So something has set something off this morning since overnight. But soybean futures were slightly lower on concerns about the spread of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus, which may reduce global demand for U.S. supplies. Corn was little changed and wheat was mixed. The variant accounted for more than 70% of the new coronavirus cases in the United States last week, according to the data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC as we all know it. It's now the dominant strain in the U.S. Some countries are again increasing restrictions on gatherings amidst other lockdown measures to slow the spread of the easily transmittable strain. Despite the lower prices, investors are also keeping an eye on the dry South American weather. They ought to be keeping an eye on us. But crop stress is expected to build in the southern third of Brazil and most of the South America there, where soybean and corn losses expected to be broadened, according to the report from the Commodity Weather Group. Patchy showers in southern Brazil the next 3 days and far southeastern Brazil next weekend, unlikely to reduce moisture stress. Things are looking better in Argentina. Only 10% of the soybeans and corn are facing stress from the dry weather. Some rain is expected this week, but it will be mostly dry for the next few weeks. Wheat futures were mixed as the weather outlook varies. Some rain is expected in the southern plains, where hard red winter wheat varieties are growing, which should offer some relief for dry conditions in the area. Rain in the 6 to 15 day forecast for parts of the southern Midwest and the Delta regions where soft red winter wheat is grown, according to the forecaster in the National Weather Service. Still, drought conditions have been widening in the southern plains. In Kansas, the biggest U.S. wheat grower, 20% of the crop was suffering from drought conditions last week. That's up from 19% a week earlier. That's also up 6.38% 3 months ago. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 2.75 to $12.92 a bushel overnight at the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down 60 cents to $382.70 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.39 cents to 53.43 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery was up $5.92, and that was up a penny. Wheat futures for March delivery fell 1 cent to $7.76¾ a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 3 cents to $8.16¼ a bushel. Weekly corn export inspections have increased. Inspections of corn for overseas delivery rose week to week, while bean and wheat assessments declined. Corn assessments rose to 1 million metric tons in 7 days. It ended on December 16th. That's up from 917,100 metric tons from the previous week and well above the 770,000 tons assessed during the same week last year. Soybean inspections last week totaled 1.68 million metric tons. That's down from 1.75 million metric tons a week earlier. That's down from 2.86 million tons examined for offshore delivery same time last year. Wheat assessments came in at 211,880 metric tons. That's down from 268,840 tons the previous week and 392,000 tons the same point last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the government has inspected 11.3 million metric tons of corn for export. That's down from 12.9 million from last year. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September are now at 27.2 million metric tons. That's way behind the 35.2 million metric tons examined last year at the same time period. Wheat examinations since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st now stand at 11.6 million metric tons, and that's down from 14.1 million a year earlier. This all according to the USDA. Winter weather advisories issued for the northern Midwest. Winter weather advisories are in effect for several counties in northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, according to the National Weather Service. 2 inches of snow is expected in northern Minnesota this morning. The advisory is in effect till noon today. Well, in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, meanwhile, dry weather may spark wildfires, as I mentioned earlier. And that's this week. Elevated fire weather conditions are expected Thursday across parts of Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. Critical weather conditions are anticipated Friday across most of the area with elevated to critical fire conditions. Again, possible Christmas Day through Monday for most of our listening area. So just forget what I said earlier in the show. Don't even do any fires because, you know, you could have a fire, look out, and the wind get up and them embers fire back up. Just be cool about it. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I might have a fire chief in here and talk with me to give everybody a fair warning. I think there's 7 counties in Oklahoma now in a fire ban, and I'm really surprised that I'm surprised every county in, from Oklahoma City West out here is not in a fire ban, but that's up to our good old county commissioners to decide, and they'll do it when they think it's needed. Well, today is my first day with my hat sponsor. If you're listening or watching on Facebook, I have my first sponsor hat is on, and it was from Dr. Taylor Mouse right here in Elk City. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers and ranchers and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main in Elk City. Dr. Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinary health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccination, boarding with indoor and outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200. That's an easy number to remember. Most of you still have it in your head from Dr. Hansfault and Dr. Rule. Or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. Well, personally, they do care, and they've done a wonderful job. They've come out. She's came out with the whole crew and helped me do some worming and preg checking with some heifers out here west of town. Had some family in from Topeka over the Thanksgiving weekend, and the reply I got back from my sister or my daughter-in-law's sister was, if she wasn't so far from my house in Topeka, I'd be seeing her all the time. So they did a wonderful job, the small animal and the dog. So anyway, visit them at on South Main there, 1019 South Main. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'll be right back after this.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
53 degrees, wind southwest 10 miles an hour, 15 mile an hour gust, and the Nathan Brewer dew point is 30. Humidity's 41. FYI, no sale at Hobart Stockyards tomorrow, so don't be hauling your cattle down there today or in the morning thinking you're going to get them sold, because it'll be a few weeks. Also, Elk City Livestock Auction and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction are closed till probably right after the first of the year. So anyway, you got time to get them a little bit fatter. And hey, boss.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, I always like to see a smiling face walk in. I don't have no clue. Don't even ask me about that. anyway, so the sale barns are going to be closed here for a couple weeks, and I'll give you an update when they're getting ready to reopen so you can get your cattle in there. Cattle prices are still pretty good. Oh, yeah. Lacey texted me last night. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm on vacation this week, and I'm sorry, next week I got to do the noon show. I can't believe she won't do the radio show while she's doing the noon show on TV. I think that'd be a great combination. I mean, what better? A highly intelligent, beautiful woman and a redneck ag guy out here in Oklahoma makes great combination. Anyway, so she won't be here today or next Tuesday. I know you're disappointed. Ain't nothing I can do about it. She's a highly sought after person, especially when she's on vacation. I'm sure she's out shooting some doe for harvest, because they can deer meat. They love deer meat. They're quite a family. Also, I had a request. Somebody caught the tail end of it on Friday when Jancy was doing the yeah, boss, don't ask. My other boss come by and they're looking at something hanging in here and I can't show it to you. But caught the tail end of the deer harvest report that Jancy read out Friday, so I'm going to repeat it. The deer harvest reports from October 1st through 9 a.m. last Friday morning, total deer for in the county, Beckham County, was 1,250 head. Ellis County is 837. Greer County is 612. Roger Mills was 1,427 head. This is total. In the wildlife management areas, Black Kettle, there was 285 head. Ellis County WMA, 48. Pack Saddle, 76. Sandy Sanders had 35. Statewide total for deer harvested as of 9 a.m. as Friday is 105,825 head. And that is down from last year. And holiday doe season is happening right now. So if you're in a high area where does need harvested, please go harvest some does. And if you don't need the meat, just donate it to somebody. There's people that want deer meat. And you got social media now. All you got to do is put on there, hey, I got some deer meat. Who wants it? I bet it'll be gone so quick. Or talk to your local processors. Talk to Ray over at Canute or Keith at Keith's Butcher, whoever else is processing deer. And I'm sure they can hook you up with somebody that wants some deer and donate it. Write it off your taxes if you want to. However you want to do that. I got to bring this story up because it hits me hard, because I've seen the aftermath of what happened up at Laverne and Buffalo and all in that general area last year with the fires. But December is supposed to be a month for Christmas cheer and holiday parties, but the merriment has come to an abrupt halt in parts of the country where crazy, unpredicted weather events have damaged homes, destroyed family, and devastated communities. In western Kentucky, as you guys all know, 58 people were killed after tornadoes ripped through the rural communities. In addition to the loss of life, many farms were impacted. And they was. There's a lot of farms impacted, a lot of farm-related businesses impact. I'm sure you guys seen that one picture going around on social media and some on the news stations where that big corn storage area was just tops blown off of it. Semi full of corn was even flipped over right there in that picture. But we were already seeing before the tornado rising cost of food at the grocery store. We simply do not know yet how it will affect the cost at this point, according to the Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner's Ryan Quarles in a recent media interview. But Kentucky is one of the leading poultry states, and they are, and even a slight delay will have an impact. Bottom line is the damage to Kentucky agriculture is simply crazy at this point. We're still trying to turn chaos into order. The Kentucky Department of Agriculture and the Kentucky Farm Bureau Federation have joined forces to raise funds and resources for ag-related recovery efforts for the farmers affected by widespread and devastating storms on December 10th and 11th. The Kentucky Agriculture Relief Fund is a cash donation portal managed by the Kentucky Farm Bureau Education Foundation. These donations can be used to support farmers and agribusiness in affected areas. So if you can find it in your heart during these holidays to donate, I'm sure all you got to do is get on the internet or on your phone, wherever, and go to Kentucky Farm Bureau Education Foundation, and they'll get you through there. Or go through the, not the FSA, but the agriculture, Kentucky agriculture, like our OSU extension offices. They've got them in Kentucky too. Get on an extension office website and you'll figure that out. But meanwhile, back in Kansas, wildfires were sparked and fueled by extreme winds and drought-like conditions. Nearly 400,000 acres was ravaged by the flames, and two deaths have been reported. Two men have died from injuries suffered in wildfires that burned hundreds of thousands of acres in Kansas this week. Richard Shimanek, I hope I said that right, he was 84 years old. He was a farmer and rancher who lived near Leote, however you say that, died Thursday night in a hospital in Denver. Leote mayor and fire chief Charles Hughes said he was outside his home trying to fight the fire Wednesday when he fell and couldn't get up. The Ellis County Sheriff's Office said Friday the remains of Derek Kelly, 36, was found near his burnt vehicle in the rural area of the county. The coroner has identified the remains, according to the Sheriff's Office. Kelly was last seen in Hayes on Wednesday, shortly before his fiance reported him missing. The sheriff's office said he was believed to be driving on county roads towards Natoma. Both men were killed in wildfires that erupted Wednesday in western and central Kansas, fueled by dry conditions and winds up to 90 miles an hour. The Kansas Forest Service said 625 square miles burnt in 11 counties in western Kansas, with smaller fires in other counties. I've read horrifying stories of farm houses being completely lost in these fires. Man, it's just livestock dead throughout, impacted pastures and communities rallying together to help those who need places to stay, food to eat, clothes to wear, or feed their livestock. For a list of ways you can support these impacted areas, KWCH has compiled some fundraisers, and they are currently active. Same thing with Kansas. I'm sure you just get online and search if you guys can figure out how to help these guys. My heart breaks for them. Man, just bad deal. So this is Christmas. So if you can find it in your heart, give them a shout and donate to people who are needing, because back in our earlier days when we had those fires there 3 or 4 years ago, and even a long time, I don't even remember how many years back, there was people from all over the United States coming into Laverne, into Buffalo, and Woodward. They had at Woodward, the Western Equipment Yard up there was just stack full of hay. So there are some great people in this world. So if you get a chance to help them, whether it's money or calling an Ace Hardware in an affected area and just donate some money and have them give them some fence poles or call their extension offices. It'll be all right, and they would dearly appreciate it, and so would I. Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk some cattle. Oh, and it's Hay Day Tuesday, so I got hay prices for you and some hay tips for you, some cattle tips for you. So hang tight. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 13th. 1,503 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 400 brought 205. 6 at 673 brought 157.50. 17 at 761 brought 163.50. 34 at 858 brought 163. 8 at 997 brought 143. 3 head of heifers at 327 brought 160. 15 at 542 brought 146. 5 at 647 brought 146. 4 at 714 brought 121. 17 at 953 brought 131.50. Butcher cows were 46 to 82. Bred cows, 650 to 13. 75 butcher bulls brought 56 to 91.50. Pairs brought 800 to 1425. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
56 degrees, wind is now out of the south at 10 miles an hour, 14 mile an hour gust, and humidity is dropping. It's down to 39. We started the show at 40. Well, today is Hay Day Tuesday, and I'll go over some of the markets with you briefly on prices for alfalfa and grass. I like picking through the states and see who's having to pay the most. And we got California. Premium alfalfa is coming $310 a ton. Let's go to Kansas. $180 to $400 a ton delivered. $140 to $250 on good quality alfalfa. And let's go down to Missouri. $160 to $250 on premium. $120 to $160 on good. Nebraska, $200 to $250 on premium. Good is $135 to $220. Oklahoma, $185 to $190. $130 to $176 on good. I wonder how they come up with $176. Don't you know farmers and ranchers like crap when you round it off to the nearest, not $176. So we'll just stick with $176 instead of $175. I'd have rounded it up to $180 if I was selling, but that's just me. But Texas is $250 to $325, and that's delivered on premium. $210 to $260 on good, and that is delivered. All that was delivered in Texas. Let's pick out somebody here that looks like California and Wyoming are paying the most right now for premium alfalfa. $230 to $260 in Wyoming. They're paying $210 to $250 on good, so that ain't much of a discount. Here we go on some grass hay prices. Let's go down to Kansas. $120 to $140 on premium. $60 to $185, that's delivered on good. And Missouri is $140 on premium, $80 to $100 a ton on good. Nebraska is $150 to $200 on premium grass hay, $125 to $140 on good. And in Oklahoma, $190 to $140, $75 to $85 on good hay. And that's per ton. And Texas is $160 to $330
on premium, and there's not a D beside there, so I guess somebody's paying some premium prices there. 120 to 275 per ton on good, and the highest people paying the highest state where they're having to pay the most for grass hay is Washington, the state of Washington. 320 to 345 for premium grass. It's a pretty good market out there, but it's a long ways to truck it from over here, and we're probably going to need it. Well, speaking of that, let's say here. I thought this was a cool story. Nevada hay growers run a fair game. It sounds crazy coming out of Nevada where Las Vegas is. Hay producers in Nevada are professional gamblers, but they are not sitting at a blackjack table. Instead, they set in a large and small square balers early in the morning, buying into the little moisture dawn offers from that dry climate. They place bets on how much water they have for irrigation. They're calculating the mountain snowpack, how much what that can provide for them, because that's where they get their water from, is from the snowpack. They can't control what weather conditions they are dealt, but they can rely on skill and luck to see them through the growing season. Making hay can be full of risk, but the Nevada Hay Growers Association was created so buying and selling hay doesn't have to be. The association was established back in the 70s in Yerington, Nevada, when local farmers developed a marketing system that was more secure than selling hay direct to consumers. Producers protect themselves by relying on each other, guaranteeing they will be paid for their product. Today, the NHGA, that's what that is, has nearly 65 members as well as a board of directors. To become a member, hay producers can apply for membership in the months of May and June. They must complete an application and pay a one-time membership fee. Members are responsible for all the harvest procedures. Once their hay is baled and stacked, they notify these people that it is ready to be sold. And the I think the president, let me see here, what is he? Oh, he's a sales representative, John Kesseroff. Kesseroff comes out, he takes inventory and samples of each stack and records the information in a spreadsheet to keep track of the hay's quality and quantity. The NHGA has a wide customer base, and hay buyers also contact Kesseroff directly to make a purchase. Their buyers lay their criteria on the table, and Kesseroff connects them with the stack of hay that meets their needs. I answer phone calls from buyers who want milk cow hay, dry cow hay, horse hay, or just feedlot hay. They tell me how many tons they want, and I come up with a product for them. So dairy producers are quick to buy hay from the first and fourth cutting. The hay tends to have higher total digestible nutrients and crude protein levels. Second and third cutting is higher in fiber because of the growing and warmer temperatures, so Kesseroff tends to sell this hay to owners of other livestock that don't require as high a quality as dairy cattle. Alfalfa is the primary type of hay being marketed through the NHGA. Even so, they noted the association sells different kinds of products: grass, grass alfalfa mix, grain, organic hay. Different products become available as producers rotate their fields to other crops. We sell alfalfa grass mixes, straight grass, and cereals, she said. No matter what type of hay is for sale, Kesseroff must establish a price before a purchase can be made. He monitors markets and estimates the best deal for members of buyers alike. Well, let me look back here and see if Nevada is in here on this deal here. Nope, I don't see Nevada in here. Maybe that's why, because these guys don't report it. NHGA doesn't buy their members' hay. They only sell it. However, they do purchase a small number of bales to stock their on-site self-serve hay barn. It's designed for individuals who do not want or have the capacity to haul an entire truckload. That's pretty cool. We purchase hay as an association for local people who want to buy one or two bales. They come to the scale, weigh in, load up however many bales they want, then they pay us and we pay the grower. In contrast to these local sales, the association also exports large quantity of hay overseas. Kesseroff noted the biggest international customers are China and Japan. Playing it safe, like members, buyers must also be approved by the board of directors. After a credit application is reviewed, they are assigned a certain amount of credit that limits them to how much hay they can buy. If buyers exceed this limit on a purchase and cannot pay for another reason, members will still be paid in full. The association utilizes a revolving fund to protect its members financially. Every time a member sells hay, they contribute 3% of their gross sales towards that fund. Each month, they send growers payments for hay that was moved in the month prior, and if there's any unpaid expenses from a buyer, they will be covered from the money from the revolving fund. That's pretty cool. It's guaranteed money, even if the person who has purchased the hay hasn't paid for it. The grower will still receive his check on time. It's kind of like an insurance policy. So that's pretty good. He said hay producers in the Nevada areas are used to low rainfall and they only receive 4.5 to 5 inches annually. They rely on water from the snowpack of the Sierra Nevada mountains for flood and sprinkler irrigation. But in 2021, reservoirs were low. And we all know, man, this everything from here west to California, north to North Dakota, over there in Washington, we're all in it. They're worse off than we are, but we're getting there. Over the past 3 years, 2018 to 2020, NHGA has marketed average of 85,201 tons of hay annually. Expects tonnage to be reduced in 2021 because of the lack of precipitation. This will affect how much hay is sold as well as how many people are selling it. Tons fluctuate over the years depending on the water members have, and this year we're going to be down quite a bit, they said. We got some growers who are going to have half a crop and some who unfortunately won't have any. That's pretty cool deal they got going out there. I think we need to start one around here. And I want to nominate some people, but I don't want them mad at me today, so I won't say their names. But I think we should start the North Fork Hay Growers Association around here, because the North Fork of the Red River is the main river that runs through most of our listening area. Starts out in the Texas Panhandle, way out there by McLean, comes down through here by Eric and Hex and Sayre, all the way down to Granite, just Willow. Not very far from Willow, but it's pretty good drive across that rough blacktop through there. But anyway, and then we got the Warstall River, and way up north in the north part of our listening area, we got the North Canadian. So, but for the most part, the North Fork's the main river running through here, and I think somebody ought to start one. That sounds fun, because I sell a lot of hay to a lot of individuals, but this would be a pretty cool system to get into, I think. But let me know what you think. Oh, I already got a text. What do we got here? Anyway, I will read that out when I come back. And if you got anything to say, the text line is wide open. The KECO Ag text line is wide open at 225-9697. I'm still needing somebody to tell me where Hell's Corner is. I want to know where Hell's Corner is. Somebody out there listening can tell me where Hell's Corner is. It's south of Altus. I'm thinking it's that 9 mile corner down there, but I could be wrong. But we need to know where Hell's Corner is. What are you guys calling Hell's Corner? And what else? We got some cattle stories coming up. I got the cow-calf corner with Dr. Peel coming up. And I guess I better go to break so we can get it over with, because I only got about 15 minutes left in the show. It's been already fun. Man, time flies when you're having fun. It's The Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Remember, we're streaming live on Facebook. You can see my beautiful face right now with my new Stockman's Veterinarian cap. And we're live streaming live on our KCO Paragon Communications app. It's the Paragon Communications app. You can download it on your phone. It's free. You can always listen to me when you're out of radio range. And of course, we're right here on KCO FM. And if you missed the show and period, you can always go to KECOFM.com, tab on the live shows, Today in Ag, and every show that I've done for the last, what did I figure up last week? I already forgot. It's 20-something shows, or 20-something weeks already. So, and it's been fun. Matter of fact, before I get to the weather again, I answered a phone call last night, and usually it's not good when I answer his phone call. But, of course, he said, hey, we want you to do the announcing at the three pig shows, the one at Elk City, the one at Clinton, and the one at Hobart coming up next month. I said, have you heard me talk? Yeah, that's why we want you. So I don't know if they're wanting a comedy show at the pig shows or what. But anyway, if you're going to be at those hog shows in January, I'll be there. So if you got poop on your pig when you're showing, I'm going to point it out. I promise you, if they want a comedy show, they're going to get one. So I'm going to be your man. So anyway, the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. 58 degrees currently right now. Winds are getting up there. Southwest 14, gusting up to 21 now. High today is 61. We're not too far from there. Tonight, low 24. Looks like tonight might be the last cool evening of the week. Tomorrow, sunny, 61 degrees. The wind's going to be out of the north, switching to the south tomorrow sometime. So it's going to be not too windy tomorrow. But Thursday, 68 degrees, and winds start picking up, coming out of the west, switching out of the south. Friday, bad day to wear a skirt, bad day to have a fire. It's just not going to be good. So everybody remain, just limit your stuff outdoors. Friday, they're talking 17 to 25 mile an hour wind, steady out of the southwest, gusting up to 40 miles an hour. So it's going to be breezy. Christmas Day, 70 degrees. The winds are going to be fairly strong, but not as bad as Friday. But then come Sunday, we're getting back to high wind. So it just looks like it's going to be a hot and windy Christmas. I did see some reports last night that ashes from the fires from up north and fires everywhere else, there's a chance we might have a white Christmas, but it's going to be in ashes, not snow. And I don't remember where I read that, but there's a chance of it in western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle. So there you have it. I have to read one of those texts that I got in from a lady known as the Cowgirl, South Wheeler Happy, or Hippie, Happy, yeah, you're still happy, but it's a Hippie Cowgirl. March 6, 2017, that's when lives were lost and a lot of us were burnt out. Wheeler County, I enjoy your program and keep up the good work, Jimmy. So thank you very much. And that was one of them. Yeah, that was the date on that fire. I couldn't remember that. That was a bad timing. I also wanted to mention this out to you before I finished up one more deal in the cow-calf corner with Dr. Peel. The National FFA Organization. It was established in 1928 in Kansas City, Missouri. There's more than 13,000 FFA advisors and agriculture teachers that deliver education to students every day in our world of the future farmers of America. 92% of them offer agri-science. 71% offer advanced agri-science and biotechnology. 59% offer agriculture mechanics. 49% offer horticulture. 43% offer animal science. 24% offer environmental related topics. The FFA has 735,038 student members today. There are 685,087 registered active FFA alumni and supporters. Nationwide, there are 8,817 local FFA chapters in all 50 states and Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. How about that? Those are good numbers. I guess you guys have figured out in the last 2 or 3 months, I like numbers because I can't pronounce half the words, these chemicals and this other stuff that got going with it. There's some words in there, man. I've learned how to just bypass them or make something up. But anyway, Christmas is upon us and cattle markets are adding to the holiday spirit in 2021 comes to a close. Optimism that has been built in the feeder cattle markets in the second half of the year have been enhanced and consolidated with the Fed cattle markets breaking out and moving sharply higher in the last few months of this year. Fed cattle prices have increased roughly 12% since late October and are about 29% higher compared to a year ago in December. And it is. Our cattle market is really nice right now. Oklahoma calf and stocker prices in mid-December are up 15% from the fall low in early October and are roughly 12% higher than the same time last year. Heavy feeder cattle prices have increased about 5% since October and are ending up about 18% higher year over year. The auction totals for feeder cattle have been up nearly 10%. Year over year since September, with the December totals up over 22% compared to last year. Rising market costs apparently encouraged some producers to hold off until after Thanksgiving to market feeder cattle this year. Rapidly expanding drought conditions are threatening winter wheat grazing in the southern plains. Dwindling forage supplies may already be causing some wheat pasture removals and could be contributing to the strong December feeder cattle auction volumes. The Mesonet map shows below the majority of Oklahoma has received little or no precipitation in the past 30 days, and we're knocking on 60 days right here in our listening area, unless somebody got a shower and didn't report it, but I'm pretty sure it's 60 days or plus. Without additional moisture, very soon more wheat pastures will have to be destocked. Current forecasts have current forecasts show little changes for precipitation in the region into January. Wildfires have already caused much damage in the plains and risk remains very high across the U.S. Drought conditions are expanding, with the latest drought monitor indicating that nearly 74% of the United States is abnormally dry or in some stage of drought. La Nina conditions are expected to persist throughout the winter, shifting the drought focus back to the southwest and southern plains and potentially improving drought conditions in California and the Pacific Northwest. And there you have it. Thank you, Dr. Peel, for this cow-calf corner update here. What do we got here? I want to finish what I was talking about yesterday. I got cut off. Sometimes I don't do my programming very good, but it's my fault. Nobody else's. About soil tests. When prices are high, producers must want to prioritize lime over fertilizer in the soil's if the soil's pH is low. Lime application improves nutrient availability in the soil, which leads to more fertility from resources already waiting to be tapped. As you guys know, lime is also just, it's temporary. It's not really a, I guess you'd call it a band-aid, but you got to keep on to it. Using manure from dairy or poultry operations might be a good way to add needed nutrients. Consider demand, trucking costs, and the source of the litter. Reduce nitrogen loss by injecting manure and commercial sources into the ground instead of spreading them on top of the ground. Use nitrogen stabilizer with commercial sources unless applied in cooler weather. I know there's some people talking about that they're going to do the variable fertilizer applications, because if they go across there and do their fields, fertilizer might be good at one end, or the whatever's good, their pH or nitrogen might be good at one end, but at the other end or in the middle, it might vary. I understand that you're not going to save a lot of money by using the variable rate because of the cost to do that. But on the other hand, you're actually putting your fertilizer where it needs to be. So, and your crop should be more consistent and better in the long run. Split applications sometimes can be more efficient way to reduce losses. Check with your local extension agronomist for most precise method of nitrogen applications or specific crop or forages. In my case, we use SEI Agritech. Kent is pretty good at it. So he's really good at it. Not just pretty, but he's good. He's not pretty. I'm going to say that right now. He's not a pretty man, but neither am I. Don't overlook ways to be more efficient. Distribute manure already generated on the farm. If you feed grass hay solely in a bunk at the same location each time, move hay feeding areas around to distribute the manure to the other parts of the farm. I was looking at the other day at my place where the heifers hang out to go to water. I was like, man, I need some way to get that and put it to use. Legumes such as clover and alfalfa are good long-term sources also of nutrients. So there you have it. Well, hope you enjoyed the show today. You guys get some work done today. Looks like it's going to get windy later in the week. Appreciate all my sponsors, and especially the one today for Hat Day, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Mouse. You guys have a great day, and God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Loaded with action and suspense.
This is KECO Elk City.